Pastor Owens. If you want to come on up here, he's been at Twin Rivers for, 11 years. 11 years, and I think when they started there, it was a church that was going with a family there, and there were, 14, or how many people were there? 17, their first service there 11 years ago, and now they are averaging about 280 people. So the Lord's, they've seen souls saved, bus ministry started, they're in a new building, and then now they're in a fundraiser for the build. They've been able to buy the property around their church, and the Lord has opened doors for that, and it's just beautiful to see. And so they're in a fundraiser for their new auditorium, and so that's exciting. I got to spend the day with Pastor Owens today, and I always look forward to this time of year. Last year I was sick, and I said, I'm sick, and I don't think I can. He said, well, I appreciate that. I don't want to get sick. And so that was it. So this year, I always look forward to the time with him. And he's invested so much in me. And I'm so thankful. And he's been we can go back and I won't keep reminiscing, but my wife used to watch their kids when they would go on a date. And that was a long time ago. What? Yeah. And then my wife and I would go on a date, and she would tell me how much fun she had, you know, being there, being a babysitter to their kids. And so I could go on. I'm thankful for what he's gotten to invest in me. And I think a lot of getting to serve with him for 10 years as his assistant pastor, the way he handles people, I've never seen a pastor do. And as far as watching, everybody's got their strengths and their weaknesses. But if there's somebody I try to copy, he's one of my heroes. The Bible says, I will get me under the great men, amen, who've known the way of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for Pastor Owens and his influence in my life. And it is just a treat to have him preach to you tonight. God bless you, Pastor Owens.
All right. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm glad that you came. Brother Nash was talking about our years in West Virginia, and I'll tell you, we had what a wonderful, wonderful ministry there, and you were great contributors to that, and for that we are grateful. Well, let me do a couple of things real quick. Of course, we have our book table and different products back there. Mrs. Owens and I will be at the table for a little while afterwards. We have a book that we put out a couple years ago. I bring it up often. It's called The Roller Coaster of Grief. It helps people that have lost loved ones to death. It's real easy to read. And what we do with it is when someone in our church passes and I conduct a funeral, I give one of these to everybody in the families, and it helps them as they go through the process of grief. And I want to tell you about that book. It's even set up. There's a couple packages back there that if you buy multiple copies, you get them a little cheaper. We have our preaching and teaching now on thumb drives, and these are 8 gigabyte. This is one of them that's back there. It's called Sermons That Heal. In it, there's a sermon on bitterness, another on forgiveness, another on how your hurt can help. Here's one about the purpose of God. You know, that when you're going through something, you're wondering, can anything good come out of this? Well, God has a way of getting something good out of a tough time. But those things are back there. Also, I'll take just a second, and then we'll get started on the sermon. Remember this. We host a college. It's called Practical Bible Baptist College. I told you last night, right before I headed this direction, Dr. Rick Young, who is our vice president, he handed me some coupons, and these coupons are good for a free class at our college. You can take one class and then forget about it. We won't badger you or anything thereafter. But this card, it's got a code on it, and if you go to our website and you want to take a free class, you type that in, it'll take you in and it'll get you a free class. All you have to do is you come to the table, see Mrs. Owens or I, we'll hand this to you. You print your name on it. You give us your email address. I snap a picture of it. I send it to the college office. I give you the card back, and you can take your class. I think there's almost 150 courses available. And don't let that word college scare you. All the material there is down to earth. It's easy to understand. Its purpose is to help you to learn something that you can use. The teachers are not trying to show you how intellectually superior they are. They're trying to help you to learn something that will help you to be a better Christian and help your life go better. And so, if you come by afterwards, we would appreciate it. You've heard me say this before, but I'm glad I can say it again. If I lived in this area, this is the church that I would attend. This is the man that would be my pastor. This would be my pastor's wife. And your choice is a good one. I thank God for this church. Been here for a long time. And I don't say it glibly. This area needs this church. I'm just sure of that. And I'm glad you came to church tonight. Wow, we were at church all day Sunday. Then Monday. Then Tuesday. Then Wednesday. And where are you all going on Thursday?
Valdez, North Carolina, to the Waldensian Museum that's there.
What's in the Waldensian Museum?
The history of the Waldensian, the Baptist people group.
I see. Are you going to feed them while they're there?
Yes, sir.
All right, just so it's not all religious. All right, good. You're going to take me somewhere. You better feed me. Well, get your Bibles out, if you will. Turn to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter 16. Oh, I'll tell you right now, what I'm going to say tonight is going to be as simple as pie. And anybody here could say it, but I'm glad I get the chance to do it tonight. I'm going to tell you about something that I just know. That, you know what happens sometimes? It just seems like sometimes we get further and further away from the simplest of things that can help us to succeed. And I try pretty hard in my life and my ministry not to lose track of that down-to-earth, simple stuff that just gets it done. You know, ladies, there are all sorts of mechanisms out there that will help you to cook today. But let me tell you, just think back to how Grandma did it. And some of the simplest things can put out some of the best chow.
Yes,
but we get further and further away from the simple things. Romans chapter 16, and I want us to look, and I'm going to look at verse number 9. And in all reality, I'm going to read one verse. And then after I read this one verse, I'm going to talk to you about it for the rest of the night. And it says this in Romans 16:9, salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. I want to stop right there. That's such a simple verse, and you might think, how in the world could we get a sermon out of it? To me, something's being said about this man named Urbane. I call the sermon, Be an Urbane. Let me pray for us. Father, tonight, the truth will be simple. Help us not to miss it, because it is so simple. Thank you, Lord, that you wrote a book that a country boy like myself could understand. Thank you, Lord, that though you know everything, have all power and all ability, you're willing to make your word understandable to a common, everyday, simple person such as myself. Now tonight, Lord, I would like to remind all of us of some things that are, I think, extremely important, though extremely simple. Please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Paul here, he said, salute this guy by the name of Urbane. Now, I looked up that name, Urbane, and it's a word, his name kind of means refined. but it says salute him. And Paul said, I want you to salute this guy by the name of Urbane because he's one of my helpers. Or, let me even simplify that more. Paul said, this guy named Urbane, he's a helper. He's a helper, and I want to salute him. If I was looking at the name Urbane and I thought, well, that means refine, and what he's known for here is his helping. Could I recommend something real down to earth? Do you need to refine your ability to help? Now you know the opposite of help is hurting. Let's not hurt the church. Let's not hurt our families. Let's not hurt people. Let's go to the opposite direction. Let's help. Amen. Let's be helpers. Let me read you a verse that I like. In Matthew 25, verse number 40, it says this, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, I think you and I ought to set a goal of helping God. And I know that doesn't sound real high and lofty and powerful, but bottom line is, we're to help God. Amen. And you know, I'm to help you, and you're to help me. And husbands are to help wives, and wives husbands, and parents children, and children parents. And the church is to help people. Amen. The ministry is all about helping God and helping people. You and I, we're to be like God the best that we can. God is a great people helper. Amen. A people helper. I'm sure pleased with that. And you got to think about this. You got to think about who God is. The thought of the great God of the universe that has all power and all knowledge. And he's omnipresent. He can take the time to help me. And he can take the time to help you, and he wants to do that. Listen to Mark 9:24. It says, And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Here somebody said, God, help me. God said, I like helping people. Do you like helping people? This might be the harshest thing I'm going to say. If you don't like helping people, you're not right with God. Right. Help. Help. Listen to Acts 16:9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. Brother Nash, that's why this church is here. We're here to be a help to God, and God wants to be a help to people. And the New Testament church is to help people on the behalf of God. And God said, when you do something unto the least of these, you're doing it unto me. I want to help God. Listen to Psalm 121, verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Are we not grateful that God helps us? I've got a granddaughter, and she's a little shy of 2 years old. And when she begins to get a little frustrated with something that she's doing, she'll look at you and say, Help! I mean, she asserts herself. She wants help, and she's not afraid to ask for it. Because we all need help. You know what this world needs? Help. They need a lot of it right now. They need help. Listen to Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we might may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If we're not careful, we're going to complicate things to the point where we don't think, I'm not sure we could build a church. I'm not sure we could build people. I'm not sure we could build families. Don't complicate it. What's it all about? Helping. Helping. You know what child rearing is? Helping your kids. You know what you are as a Sunday school teacher? Helping those students. That's what it's all about. You know, the ministry, if you will, it's not a fancy looking fleet of vans or buses. You know what the ministry is? the people on the buses. That's what it's really all about. The ministry is not a full, impressive, huge choir loft. No, the ministry is all about the people that sing in the choir. The ministry is not about some 1,000-seat auditorium with chandeliers and plush carpeting. No, the ministry is all about the people that sit in the 1,000 seats. Something I learned a long time ago, and I'm glad I learned it. We're sitting tonight in what I consider a people factory. It's a people factory. What's it all about? Helping people. We're virtually a part of an assembly line. I mean, if you stand at the front door and greet, you're at the start of the assembly line. Then they walk in and maybe they'll meet somebody at the back door here. Maybe they'll go further down the assembly line to the nursery and meet somebody else. And then they'll come into the church and meet an usher and meet somebody else. And then somebody will get up and help them to sing a song. And now they've met somebody else. And, you know. And then farther down the line, we want them to meet the Lord. What is it? This is a people factory. And I think people miss it. They missed it. This building's not all about this instrument. It's not all about this pulpit. It's not all about these songs. It's all about God and people. And let's not become too big for our spiritual britches. Just remember this. The place is about God. It's about people. We're in the people business. The church is a people factory. Do you know the Christian schools? The ministry is not all about a big enrollment at a fancy school that's got a lot of fancy equipment. It's all about students. And doing what? Helping them. And when a school can't help the students, we got a problem. The ministry is not all about a big, strong offering. Really, it's not. Now, we don't want it to be little and weak. But that it's not all about a big, powerful offering. You know, the ministry is all about the people that give the offering and then the people that are benefited by the giving of the offering. It's all about the people. The ministry is not all about a big attendance number. I think years ago, I think you used to have a chart that hung on a wall that you might post an attendance on. And those things can kind of freak you out. You come in, you look at it, you wonder why, you know, why isn't it higher? Why is it lower? But can I tell you something? I don't see any big deal about an attendance other than this. Each number represents a people, a person. And that's what the church is all about. Amen. If you look at the Bible, it's all about God and people. And God said, I want to use you, and you can help me by helping people. Helping people is, do you know, I was called to preach, Brother Nash. I was called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. Now, I know you're thinking, are you sure? But I was. I might not be good at it, but I was called to preach when I was 16. And I have a very dear friend that was called to be a missionary. And I have a friend that felt like he was called to be, well, Brother Josiah, called to be an evangelist. But let me tell you something we were all called to be. People helpers. Everybody here, you're called. You're called by God to help people. You can't hire your pastor to help the people that you're supposed to help. Now, he's going to help some people, but he's not going to help people just because he's a pastor. He's going to help people because he's a Christian, because all Christians have been called to help. Amen. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can help people. It doesn't matter how old, how young you are. You're called to help. And I'll tell you this, if you're still alive, you're alive because there's somebody you can help. Amen. I have a lady in my church. She's shut in, been shut in for about 3 years. She live streams with us, and I threw an ever-loving fit in a sermon the other day, and I made a statement something like this. I said, baby, if you're still sucking air, God did not leave you down here for no purpose at all. Get busy and help somebody. I kind of get tough and huffy sometimes like that. It just helps keep people's attention. by the time I got home, I got this text from her, and it said, Pastor, and this is a shut-in lady, 3 years, and she said, I've got some ideas. She said, I can't go out, but I'm going to figure out how to help people from my home, and I am not going to be alive and worthless. I thought, well, amen. Amen. Did you know that life's not all about you? The most depressed people in this world are people that their life rotates strictly around them. Me, my problems, my thoughts, my heart, my life, my. You get enough of that, you'll be bummed out. Helping people is our call. Helping people is what God wants us to do. You know, when children are growing up, and I guess it's still this way, they're taught to be helpers. Little ones grow up and they want to be daddy's little helper. Y'all ever remember getting your son his very first plastic lawnmower? You know, the one that the wheels click and he's out there mowing. And then it's always a glorious thing when he grows out of that one to the real one. How many times are little girls growing up and they get a play kitchen? They're learning how to do something. It's not just play. To me, that was done for a reason. To learn to be a helper. Daddy's little helper. I wonder if God could look down at you, his child, and say, that's one of Daddy's little helpers. That's what we're supposed to be. Our college is called Practical Bible Baptist College. I'll be very honest, I don't want to train in my Bible college a bunch of fat cat professional preachers. I want to train folks that are all about helping people. Now, I'm going to make some statements. I'm going to make them pretty quick. But I'm going to talk for a little while about helping people. You say, Pastor, I was not trained in Bible college. That's okay. You don't have to be trained in Bible college to help people. Say, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money. Well, welcome to the club. But you don't have to have a lot of money to help. You say, I don't have a very high IQ. We don't have to have a high IQ to help. You just have to have a heart that's willing. And I'm going to show you some things very quickly about helping. Brother Nash, to me, the key to building the New Testament church is probably what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Say, well, you know, you got to take courses on church finances and church law and insurance. Yeah, but if you don't have any people and if you don't have God, you don't have much to work with, to be honest. Yes, sir. What I'm about to say, it still works. Yes, sir. In building people. For instance, number one, help yourself so you stay strong enough so you can help others. Help yourself so that you can stay strong enough to help others. Listen to a verse. Job 6:13 says this, is not my help in me? Listen, one thing you're going to have to do, if you want to help other people, you better make sure that you are helping you. Yeah, can I tell you something? This church can't afford to lose someone because we need everybody to show up to help us to help everybody else. I preached a sermon in my pulpit not long ago called Doctoring the Doctors. And this is what I told my people. I said, folks, you understand that some of you tend to want to be a patient all the time. You know, there's supposed to be a point in your life when you're to get a little stronger so you can help people that are not well. So it's not always about you. You know, some of you need to grow up spiritually. Why? So he could give you a Sunday school class that you could teach. But you say, how do you get there? Well, you're going to have to read your Bible and you're going to have to pray and you're going to have to come to church. You're going to have to guard the way you live. I think it's very important that I keep me strong So if I stay strong, I can help other people. Brother Nash, the times in my life when I felt like quitting, I'm going to tell you what I thought. Maybe vain, but I thought there are a lot of people that depend on me. I better make it through this and stay right with God because I need to help some people. Now, some of you, you need to straighten your life out so you can help somebody. Amen. You help yourself so you're strong enough to be a helper. How do you accomplish that? You read your Bible. How do you accomplish that? You pray. How do you accomplish that? You show up to church. Get yourself in church and stay in church and become strong enough that you can help somebody else. All I'm doing is telling you this simple little thing. We're to help. We're to help God and we're to help people. But people that are a mess don't usually help people that are a mess. So, my first recommendation is straighten up your mess. Most of your messes are not that hard to fix. I could give you some counsel right now. Stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing. I'll send you a bill. Let me go on. Number two, help the ones that others think are unattractive. Now we're going to get down to this thing of really getting out there and helping people. I said help the ones that others might think are unattractive. Now, remember, I'm talking about this guy by the name of Urbain. Urbain was a helper. Paul said, this guy's a helper. This guy, he helps. He helps me. He gets the job done. He's a helper. So, listen to Job 29:12. It says this, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. Huh. I'm saying, let's make sure we're willing to help the people that maybe the rest of the world think are unattractive. One of the most famous stories in the entire Bible is about a man by the name of the Maniac of Gadara. I wish, if you don't know the story, it's a wild story. I mean, literally. There's this wild man living in the graveyard, howling at the moon, running naked. A wicked, wild man. Jesus comes by. And he wins this man to Christ as a result of the process after he gets saved. The next thing you know, this guy is sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed, in his right mind, and ready to do good. It's not long thereafter until you find out this guy called the Maniac of Gadara, he's rounding up crowds of people for Jesus. There are a lot of people out there that the world would consider unattractive. Unattractive because of who they are or what they are. I don't know. Maybe they're not as clean as others. Maybe they don't have it together like others. But can I tell you what you and I as Christians are supposed to do? Help. Where are they going to get help if they don't get it from some compassionate Christian? Is the world going to run to the down and out that they consider as worthless and help them? The world usually won't help you unless they think they're going to get something out of it. So, help the ones that others might think are unattractive. That verse said, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that none else would help. Let's help the people that everybody else won't help. Let me go on. Number three, we've got to help the lost. We're talking about the unsaved. The Bible says in Acts 16:9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Now, folks, the Bible teaches there's a heaven and a hell. And I believe that. And the Bible teaches if you're born again, you get to go to heaven. And if you don't get born again, you're going to die and go to hell. And every last one of us are to tell the lost that there is a Jesus and he will save them. You say, but Pastor, I've never been trained to do that. Grab a gospel tract. The gospel tract will do most of it for you. All you have to do is have a hand to hand the gospel tract to them. A mouth that will say, read that. And you're on your way. But folks, we're to help the lost. Help them. Help the lost. Help the unattractive. But let me move on. And quickly, number four, we've got to help the new converts. Why? I believe this man named Urbain, I think Urbane was praised for being a helper. And I believe when people got saved down at the church, Urbane, he wanted to help those brand new Christians. Listen to Acts 18:27. When he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. What it's saying is, there's some people that got saved by grace, and then they needed help after they got saved. Let me explain something. When people first come to the church and they first get saved, they don't know as much as you. They've not had the training that you have had, and they're going to need some help. You say, what kind of help? When you see somebody that just got saved in the church, don't be afraid to ask them to sit with you in church.
Amen.
Say, what would that do? It'd help them. Amen. You say, how? Help them feel like they're wanted. When they come to church and they're wandering around trying to figure it out, help.
Amen.
Help. You know, you're going to find this out. They're going to get saved. They're going to come to church. They might have some behaviors. They might look a certain way. And if you're not careful, though, you'll expect them to know as much as you do after you've sat in church for years and years and years. You need to be patient, and you need to be kind, and you need to give them a chance to grow in the Lord. So we can help the new convert. I'll tell you something that will help a brand new Christian. They get saved, and then the church is having a picnic in a couple of weeks, and it's church-wide, and everybody's invited. Go to the brand new person. Go to the brand new person in the church. Go to the brand new convert and say, boy, I hope you're coming to the picnic. You need to be there. They may need someone to personally ask them. And let me tell you something that will mean something to them. They almost expect him and Mrs. Nash to invite them, the pastor and the pastor's wife. But you, when you invite them, they're going to say, what? I mean, that pastor, he gets paid to ask me to come to the picnic. But this person, they must really want me there. Folks, we've got to help the newly saved people. We've got to help them. You say, why? Well, we're building an army of helpers. And they just got saved, and we've got to help them. Why? If we can help them, and they become a part of the church, then later on, they become a part of the help force. Have you ever felt this here? You ever felt like there's not enough people to get the job done? You ever thought that?
Yes.
Well, Pastor Owens, we'd have all sorts of ministries. Let me tell you the key. Everybody that comes here, you help them. And you help them until they've grown enough that they can begin to help someone. And we just doubled our workforce.
Amen.
It's not that hard. Let me move on. Next, I believe this man named Urbane, number 5, I think he helped the fallen. The fallen. Let me read a verse to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Just so you all know, people are going to come to church and they're going to do sinful, stupid things. Say, what do? Help them up. And you can't help them up if you're criticizing and attacking them on social media. Help them. Now, I'm not asking you to become like them. Remember point number 1, you got to help yourself to stay strong, so that you can help others. But when people fall, and they will, they need help. They need help to get up. They need someone to remind them that I'm praying for you. They don't need someone to embarrass them. They don't need someone that's gossiping about them. They don't need someone that when they fall and they finally come back to church, you walk up to them and say, well, look what the dog's drug in. How long's it been, my brother? It's the last thing they needed. Now they needed a sincere welcome. They needed to see that you care. And get this. The fallen sometimes needs what the new convert needed for you to come and say, hey, listen, you want to sit with me? Now, I don't think you ought to go out running around with them quite yet, but I think having them sit by you in church is saying, I want you here.
Amen.
Did you know fallen people can get right with God and become unfallen? And they can become a part of the help force. You say, I don't know about that. I'll tell you when you'll believe what I said. when you're the fallen one. You say, well, it's never going to happen to me. You're probably next, because pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah. Yeah, you say, well, I'd never do that. You'd do anything that any other Christian could. And if you need God to prove that to you, He can just withhold His mercy and grace for a moment, see what kind of a mess your life will be in. You're not as good a Christian as what you think. If it were not for Almighty God, we'd all be in a pigsty of the worldly mess that's going on around here. Hey, help the new convert. Help the fallen. Help the ones that are not so attractive. Help the lost. Then, not only that, let's help the hurting. The hurting. Mark chapter 9, verse 22 says this, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Here is a family that's hurting. This happens to be a child that's got a lot of spiritual issues. But they're hurting. And they cry out and say, help us! Now, there are a lot of hurting people in this world. What do they need? Help. They need help. You say, Pastor, I'm not a counselor. I'm not sure what in the world could I do for someone that is hurting, maybe hurting because of spiritual failure or whatever it is. Well, I tell you one thing we all can do. We could pray. We could pray. Is there anybody that's hurting that you're praying for other than yourself? We're very good at that. Help the hurting. I believe that if a church is known for helping the hurting will come to get help.
Yes, sir.
They'll come to get help. My church, I've been pastoring for years, but about 2 years ago, a lady came to my church, and she met me after church, and she said, may I speak to you for a moment? I said, sure, my office is right back here. She sat back there. I said, ma'am, how can I help you? She said, well, I've been to a couple other churches in the area. She said, sir, I'm very embarrassed, but I've got some issues and some problems. And I went to another church, and when I talked to the pastor, he said, oh, I can't help someone with that problem, but if you go out to Twin Rivers Baptist Church, he'll help you. I said, ma'am, you came to the right place. She said, you haven't heard my problem yet. I said, don't matter. Amen. We help people here. If we don't have the solution, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Folks, we need to help the hurting, not attack the hurting, not cuss the hurting, not make it worse. Help! I think we could take every old-time religion church in America and help them to go to another level if they would just remember their primary purpose is to help God and help people. Amen. That's what it's really all about. Hey, let me give you something else. And this is point number 7 in my outline. And if you're wondering, I've got 12 of them. But believe me, the last 4 or 5 are going to go really quick. Number 7, you know where to help the sick? Help them. Matthew 25:36 says, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. You know what was happening here? Somebody was getting help. Somebody's getting help. Sick people need help. Prayer help. Maybe someone that can go and pick up their meds. Maybe somebody every once in a while that could drop off a little meal. Maybe somebody that would just encourage them. But we're supposed to help the sick and help the lost and help the hurting and help the new Christian and help the fallen and help the unattractive. And that's one reason why you and I are to keep ourselves healthy, so that we can help. But not only that, I think we're to help those who have had loved ones pass away. We're to help the grieving. Listen to Job 29:25, and it speaks of one that comforteth the mourners. Here at the church, when people come and they've lost loved ones to death, you need to remember it. And you need to help them as they mourn. I'll tell you what happens when we lose a loved one to death. There is usually a rally to the cause for about 2 weeks. and people remember it, and they give a little attention to it, and they'll come to the one that is the survivor and say, boy, I'm praying for you. But after about 14 days, it's completely forgotten. Did you know that a year after someone's mama has passed, they're still hurting because mama passed? Someone that you understand that the very first Thanksgiving after the death of a family member, it's remembered at Thanksgiving somebody's missing. And the first Christmas, and the first anniversary, and the first birthday. In the church, we're to help. And if we want to help, we're going to have to help those that are grieving and help those that are sick. Did you know that what I'm telling you, these are some of the simplest things in the world. This is what makes a church what it's supposed to be. Amen. This is what makes a Christian what a Christian's supposed to be. If we're not careful, folks, we're going to come to church, and every time we come, it's all about me. Amen. Me. Well, I didn't like this, and I didn't like that. Well, maybe you shouldn't have come for what you like and what you don't like. Maybe you ought to come in here to figure out how to help somebody. Hey, I think it's a good idea that we learn how to help the leadership in the church. Romans chapter 16, verse number 3, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Paul said, these people help me. Mrs. Nash won't be able to do everything that she does by herself. She's going to need some help. Brother Nash is going to need some help. The leaders in the church, they need some help. And you can help them. You might not be able to do everything that you once could, but you can do something or you wouldn't still be alive. Again, God didn't just keep you alive because He likes to watch you breathe. God kept you alive because He feels like you can do something. You can accomplish something. But help. One thing that, thank the Lord, Brother Nash, in my church, my men are constantly watching for things that they can do to help me so that I can do some of the things that I do to help people that maybe my men, they can't. I do a lot of counseling. Well, my men, I don't mind hanging drywall. I don't mind cutting grass. Matter of fact, I enjoy it. But the last time I was cutting grass, one of the men come out and he said, Pastor, you have hospital visitation. You have so many counts. You've got so much Bible to work on. Let me mow that grass. I can do that. But Pastor, I don't know how to do a Bible study. And I thought, well, that sure will help me. There are things that could be done and you could help at a level which could help somebody else to have time to help. At the level, hey, there are some things that he just has to do because he's the pastor. There are some things that all of us could pitch in and do that would alleviate some of the responsibility so he would have time to do the pastoral things. I don't know if you know this. And again, you forgive me. I'm a simpleton. I'm a country boy. But let me tell you what a deacon does. They deek. No. A deacon... They're servants. They deliver groceries. Watch out for the widow. And so you understand. It wasn't a board of these powerful people trying to control everything. It was a bunch of humble men that were trying to help so that the people got served in the church properly. Take a look at it. Help the leadership. Do you all have a children's church program? I don't know who preaches children's church, but if you're one of the workers, go in there and help. There's nothing like having a person that's there to help in children's church and the workers standing in the corner sucking their thumb while the children are swinging from the chandeliers. Yeah. Do you know what you're in the children's church to do? Help. Let me ask, how much do you help here at the church? Here's a good thing. Most of you are going to feel all right about that because I know a bunch of you have a lot of things that you do. But really, you need any help?
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Nash, need any help? Yeah. Yeah, sure do. Help the leadership. Yeah. Then let me, if I can. I think Urbane probably helped the followers. Philippians 4:3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women who labored with me." So now it's talking about there is someone that's a bit of a follower. Well, we need to help the follower. If as a leader I don't help the follower, then I won't have the follower to help me. You see how all this works? Parents, rear your children. When you're rearing your children, you're serving them and you're helping them to learn how to succeed, because one day they could turn around and help you. Let's learn to help the people that are weak in their faith. Help them. Mark 9:24 says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." There are going to be people that are weak in the faith. Be careful. Some of the new converts will be weak in their faith. You know, the pastor will say, we're going to go do this. And you'll say, that's a good idea. And you might hear a new member say, I don't know. Can we do that? Their faith might be a little weak. Help them. Say, oh, no, we can do this. God can help us. Amen. People need their faith strengthened. Amen. Everybody needs their faith strengthened from time to time. But they need help. I had a really good time. I wish I had time tonight to tell you all the times in the Bible I found the word help and what it was attached to. All the way through the Bible, you just got these people going through life saying, can I help you with that? Anybody need help? Then there's people saying, help me, help me, we need help, help over here. And then the helpers went and helped. And then you find all the successes of the Bible wrapped up in this one thing. Helping people. The Bible tells us that we should help the poor. Acts 9:36, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds," which she did. That word alms deeds meant that she was a helper of the poor.
Yes, sir.
I don't. Success is not as complicated as people tend to make it out to be. I watched the world's largest Sunday school built. And it was a constant brainstorming session on how to go help a bunch of people. I think, Brother Nash, I think these people come to this church because your Bible preaching and teaching helps them. He's a good teacher, isn't he? Yeah, he is. And it's pretty hard to go someplace to church and really feel like you're getting anywhere if you're not getting help from the pulpit. Help from the music. But remember, it's not all about what I get. I'm to help.
Amen.
I think if you're 6 years old or 600, the Christian life's not that hard. Let's just help people. Brother Nash, I don't know how long I'll be able to preach. I don't know how long I'll be able to pastor. But I know there's one thing. I don't care how old I get. I plan to just keep on helping.
Amen.
When people come to this church, they ought to, without a lot of effort, look at a whole bunch of folks and say, they all just want to be so helpful. They all just, it just seems like they all want to help. Now, I'm going to tell you, you will not accomplish that if you get out of your car, you walk in here, you plunk it down, you don't move an inch, you don't say hi to anybody, you don't shake a hand, you don't go up and see if somebody needs some help. If you just sit there like a bump on a log, you'll never build the reputation in the community that you're a church packed full of helpful people.
Yes, sir.
To help, you got to assert yourself a little bit. Come out of yourself.
Amen.
Hey, let them be overwhelmed. When they come and you're standing back here in the hallway and someone says, where's the restroom? Let 10 people say, let me show you where it's at. Isn't that a little overkill? I'd rather that than they get in their car to go try to find a gas station because nobody showed them where the restroom was.
Right.
Help! There ought to be a lot of help coming to anybody that needs it. Let your church become known in the community. That's a church that'll help you. It'll help you. They'll just help you. And you'll watch your church grow because of that one thing. Help. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Sermon doesn't get any simpler. Again, anybody could appreciate it. Matter of fact, there are children in here that could have said what I just said. We're just reminding ourselves of the obvious. We're reminding ourselves of the basics. We've got to keep an attitude of helping. You young people, you live at home with mom and dad. You help mom and help dad. You want to succeed at work? Help the company for which you work. Help. Help. That'll get it done. You know what a good doctor and a good nurse does? They help people. We've got to help people. Very simple question. Could you increase your desire to help? Could you increase your desire to help some? Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I do believe there are ways that I could increase my helping people in my life. And God has spoken to my heart. I want to do it. Would you let God see your hand? Yeah, hands up all over the place. Put your hand down. Listen, somebody here, you need to get yourself straightened out. Why? You can help some people. But you're going to have to get you fixed up a little bit. Get yourself in the Bible. Get to praying. Get into church. So you can be more so used to help. Guard your testimony so you can help. We're going to have an invitation. The pianist is going to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you want a moment at the altar, you may come.